Grounds Projects and Operations Subcommittee Meeting, July 9, 2024, 4:00 PM. Notice of the Open Meetings Act, posting and announcement of meeting procedure. A copy of the Open Meetings Act, Nebraska Revised State Statute 84-1407 through 84-1414 is posted on the back wall of the meeting room. Prior to turning the agenda for today's meeting, I would like to announce the procedure that will be used for this meeting. With respect to each agenda item, the directors will first hear staff proposals and recommendations. Then the public will be given the opportunity to speak to the item. Lastly, the directors will discuss the item and take action. We ask that the public not interrupt the directors' discussion and action. Thank you. Quorum call.
Fowler?
Here.
Jeff?
Here.
Teaser?
Here.
Thompson?
Here.
And Chair?
Here. Item number four, adoption of agenda.
Promote.
Second.
And a motion and a second. Roll call.
Jeff?
Yes.
Teaser?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
And Chairman?
Aye. Item number five, proof of publication of meeting notice. We have proof of publication of the meeting notice tonight, and they'll become part of the permanent record. Item number six, amendment number one with Houston Engineering for Flat River Obstruction Removal Project. John Winkler and Mike Sotak, Houston Engineering.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So in October of 2023, the board approved this professional service agreement with Houston for design, permitting, bidding, and construction related to the Flat River obstruction, which occurred after the 2019 flood. I talked a little bit about it at the budget meeting. And so that was limited in scope to $249,000, which was the cap that we placed on that. We did receive again through the state DED, the CDBG DR program, the $7 million in federal funding. And so we did get approval for that. We have a kickoff coordination meeting next week with DED. Lori will be managing the grant for us, so we thank Lori for that. And so this is the next amendment to move that project into the next phase of getting out the RFP for permitting and then also doing the construction management on that program. And so this amendment number one is for $381,916. Again, there's a 10% match on the professional services, or excuse me, 10% match on the grant of $7 million. And again, we will be bringing a future interlocals agreement with Lower Platte South, the Sarpy County, Cass County, and then SID 101 to contribute to that 10%. And so we recommend approval of the contract amendment to keep this moving forward so we can get this obstruction removed. And Mike Sotak's here if you have any questions specifically on the contract or the engineering work that's been done.
We can have a motion on this item.
I'll move for staff recommendation.
You got a motion? You got a second?
Second.
Second. Anyone in the public wish to speak to the item? Directors?
I got a question for Mike. Hey, Mike, with all the flows that happened here recently with the events, and it uncovered a lot of the rock, the said rock that wasn't there, but now it's there. Has the railroad formally said, yeah, that's our rock now? And I guess the question goes, can we ever go back to them for some more monies because it was their rock?
No, they haven't admitted that. They are right now willingly participating in discussions about the biggest holdup. We have two holdups in front of us right now to complete the design and permitting of this project. One of them is working with the railroads. They have rules and restrictions about working around their piers for the bridges. You know, they have stability, structural stability concerns and those. So, you know, their first blush at us was, we don't want you to get within 10 foot of them. Well, we can only remove about half the rock we need to remove if we got to stay 10 foot away. Because they're 50 foot apart, 10 foot each side, you know, it just takes up too much room. The goal is to get enough rock out of there so that the bridge acts hydraulically as close as it possibly can to pre-flood. That's the overall goal of the project. Anything else, we're inducing damages upstream and causing additional flood risk to anybody upstream. So that's the main goal of the project, to remove rock. So right now, we're working through ideas we have with the railroads. So they've still admitted no responsibility in this. They are talking to us, but they're not really budging. We started getting John involved in the correspondence with them. and we're trying to help move things along. And every time we talk to them, someone else gets added to the phone call and is more of a naysayer than the last. So ultimately, I don't know where we're going to get to with them, but we're still working on it. We've had a meeting with them last week. Number two is we're still working with the Bellevue Rod and Gun Club. I'm going back to them Thursday night. They have a board meeting Thursday night, so I'll be there Thursday board meeting. If we don't, so when they built that causeway between the two bridges, they had to cross the UP tracks, which is the more upstream end or westernmost track. They had to go through the Bellevue Rod and Gun Club, cut across tracks, and then go between the two tracks in the Platte River to build the causeway, the rock causeway. Bellevue Rod and Gun Club got paid by UP. They didn't like the way UP left things, so they had kind of a sour taste in their mouth from how UP used their ground. Now we're asking them, and they know that if we can't use their property, it becomes either very, very expensive or impossible for us to get the rock out between the two railroads, because we can't pass it underneath the BNSF track, and we can't get it out without crossing the UP track. So it becomes a real nightmare. And they know that. There's some balance between greed and being a good neighbor that they're bouncing back and forth on to figure out how much they're going to charge us to use their land to get the rock out through the property. So I'm working on that right now. They kind of go back and forth, too, from being very amenable and saying they want to be a good neighbor to asking me how much we're going to pay them. So those are the two things. Those are the two big things that we're working on right now. We're currently shooting for, you know, we'd love to see like a September. The Bellevue Rod and Gun Club doesn't want us doing anything until after deer season is over, because we have to cut through the rifle range, which is fine because it's good winter work. So we're shooting to try to get things bid in time for, you know, late November, December, January, February construction out there. So that's what's in front of us right now. We got very, very lucky in this last rain event that the Platte was low when the Missouri was high. And then when the Platte came down right after that and raised up real quick, the Missouri had already receded a little bit. I mean, if they would have matched up, it could have been a heck of a lot closer to 2019 than it was. We ended up at the SID with elevations about 6 foot below 2019, which is quite a bit. But if those peaks would have matched up, it would have been a lot closer than it was. So we're going out again, and now we have three sets of drone videos, you know, one after the flood, one after the earlier spring events on the Platte River, and the one after these recent events. So the rock's all there exactly where we said it was, but there's still no active participation. So if we don't get it moving very quick, we're not going to be able to bid it in time, and that's why we've got John involved now to kind of, and he's got the support of some higher-ups that, with, you know, now that they've got money and we're saving them money, you think they'd be a little more willing to help.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
I had one quick question. How long do you think the project will take altogether?
Construction-wise?
Yeah.
So I've been working with about six contractors who've shown interest in the project, just bounce some ideas off them, get idea on costs. They all tell me that if we bid this thing this fall and they can get started on everything, you know, by November, that they'll have it out, you know, over the winter by the end of February, early March, before next year's flood season.
What do they do with it all?
What's that?
Where does it go?
There's three components of this. There's the starting on the upstream end, you've got a bunch of trees that were on the upstream side of the railroad. UP did come around, and Martin Cleveland put in a request to have those removed several months ago. Nothing happened until about a couple weeks ago. They actually came through with one of their trains that has a big claw, and they took some out. Now once the water recedes, we'll see how many more are back there. But so that's the one part. And then we've got two rock causeways that were built by the railroads inside of sand that was deposited when it overtopped in the second subsequent May event in 2019. So the sand is going in the lake, the NDOT lake, and we're just filling in the south part of that lake, which is an old borrow pit. So it's not jurisdictional, work with the Corps of Engineers. The rock between the two railroads that we need to haul out to the Bellevue Rod and Gun Club, SID 101 is purchasing for a kind of a levee shore up stability project they're doing, which is why they're a financial partner in the project. On the other side, which is the BNSF causeway, that rock will be either hauled off by the contract or placed somewhere else. The problem with the rock is it doesn't meet any gradations. You know, NDOT, the Corps of Engineers, everybody requires, you know, you've always heard about riprap type A, B, C riprap, which is a certain gradation size of it. It doesn't meet any of that. There's rock this big and there's rocks bigger than this table in there. So that's the trouble, is finding a home for it. And so that'll be the onus of the contract, whoever gets it, to find a disposal place.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Roll call.
Teaser?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
And Chairman?
Aye. Thank you very much. Item number 7, adoption of district program 17.34 in lieu of fee program. Ian?
Yep, good afternoon, everybody. So you may recall last month's meeting, we had an item on the in lieu fee program and approved a contract amendment with HDR, and at that meeting, Matt Pillar with HDR really gave a really great overview of the in lieu fee program, kind of where we're at and the next steps. So I'll keep this relatively brief, but this is really kind of a follow-up to that, or sort of in tandem with that work. This sets out a district program to be adopted into the director's policy manual that outlines the district's responsibilities and any applicant responsibilities for this program once we have it all established. Just as a reminder, what the in lieu fee program does for us is really provide additional mitigation options for Section 404 permitting in our district. And really the key benefit to this and the difference between our existing mitigation banking program is that we can sell advanced credits before we actually build these sites, and then use those funds to eventually design, plan, construct larger mitigation bank sites. So I have attached the program description. If you have any questions on it, I'm happy to answer. Again, it is similar in a lot of ways to the wetland mitigation banking program, so many of these different responsibilities we're quite familiar with. The biggest differences that I would maybe point out is under district responsibility number 3, since this is advanced funding and the sites aren't, you know, sort of pre-built and then credit awarded, there is a higher responsibility to account for the different, you know, income and disbursement of funds to develop these sites. So we may be audited by the Corps more frequently to ensure that the program is being, you know, run appropriately. And then under number 4 as well, that last sentence there, there is a responsibility to develop these sites if we begin selling credit for them in advance. And so that's kind of set out in the instrument, but we do have a responsibility to establish the site in a timely manner. So those are maybe some new responsibilities there. But other than that, nothing particular I wanted to point out, but happy to take questions if you have any.
Thank you very much. Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item? Directors?
Do you have future sites that would fit this potentially? Have you looked at those? Or
That part of that work is what we approved in that amendment with HDR. So we are planning to pre-scope a number of sites in the service areas that we think that we're going to establish. We really want to be prepared if we start selling credit to be able to develop that without, you know, being caught off guard. So we do have the intent to do some more of that scoping work. And I believe we have some sites already that we're looking at. I think Pigeon Jones was one that has kind of been looked at before and we think are rolling into this program. So.
Stream mitigation as well?
Yep, stream mitigation as well. I believe it'd be part of it, in addition to the wetland mitigation.
Thank you. That's all.
Any other questions from directors?
Just real quick, how do you determine how much a credit costs?
Yeah, that's a good question. So just as a kind of to give a comparison, for the wetland mitigation banking, it's a little maybe easier because we've already built the sites. We have the costs for planning, design, construction, and we kind of set the prices after the fact to recoup that investment essentially. In this case, we really want to set a price that's going to allow us to fund the future design and construction. And so it's going to require a little bit more forethought. And that, again, is something that's included in the amendment to HDR's contract, looking at each service area, because it also depends on where we're going to be able to build these sites, land costs being the biggest difference there, right?
Right.
So, yeah.
So do you know how much it would be now, or are you still
working on it? No, not yet. Okay. We don't have idea just yet. That is something that would be approved by the board, so once we reach that number, it'll be brought back to you. And
that's great. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Last one you sold. How much? For how much? How big is the credit? Okay.
Roll call.
Move staff recommendation.
Second. We need a second.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Teaser?
Yes.
And Chairman?
Aye. Number eight, Lower Platte River Corridor Alliance Joint Funding Agreement for the USGS Streamage Trend Analysis. Ian?
Yeah, got one more for you. So this is a project that the Lower Platte River Corridor Alliance, of which the district is a member, is undertaking with USGS. So since 2007, USGS, on behalf of the Lower Platte River Corridor Alliance, has been collecting both discharge data and water quality data from a number of different stream gauges along the Platte River. The data that's been collected as far as water quality goes, it's kind of listed there at the end of the first paragraph, but things like temperature, turbidity, nitrates, nitrites, those sorts of elements. At this point, with over 17 years of continuous data collected, we have the opportunity to complete a statistical trend analysis of what we've collected so far. So we have that data, and what this analysis really is going to tell us is we have the continuous water quality data we've collected so far, and we can take a look at that, but there's a lot of different effects that kind of create some noise in that data, and so this analysis can let us know what the trend has been over the last couple of years for these different items of interest, independent of some of the seasonal changes, you know, wet and dry year changes that are going to also impact what we're monitoring there in the Platte River. And the real benefit of that, both to the district and to the Corridor Alliance, is that we're currently involved. We have a water quality management plan through the Corridor Alliance with prescribed management practices to improve the water quality of different streams that are contributing to the Platte River. And we know that in the coming years, we're anticipating a large change in the land use in South Sarpy, which is going to also impact that water quality. And so at this stage, completing a trend analysis would really give us a clearer picture of, you know, how the Platte River has been changing in the past and allow us to better enact the management practices we've outlined in our plan and see how we're impacting that trend, and also see how changes in the contributing watersheds, like in the South Sarpy, are impacting it as well. So there's a number of other benefits, and there's a full scope of work that I've attached from USGS, so if there's any questions on that, I can try my best to answer them. But as far as the actual you know, time and financials of this analysis, it has a total cost of $148,100 and would be completed over 2 years. Of that total cost, $53,260 would be contributed by USGS, roughly 36% of it. And the remaining $94,840 would be the responsibility of the Corridor Alliance. There's a number of parties in the Corridor Alliance, and for this agreement, there's 10 other, or 9 other funding partners, so 10 including the district itself. $15,000 would be contributed by NDEE, so approximately 10% of that $148,000 total. And then the remaining partners, which are all listed near the bottom of the memo, would contribute $9,980, and that would be billed in two parts, one part in FY25 for $5,843, and then one part in FY26 for $4,137. So for this entire study, the district would be responsible for approximately 7% of the cost. Considering what this data would do for us in terms of being able to translate it into actionable insights for both our water quality management plan and for programs and projects in the Southern Sarpy Watersheds Partnership. It's pretty great value. And I have also attached the joint funding agreement, just lists all the parties and some of the details that are mentioned in the memo. But happy to take any questions on this as well.
Thanks, Ian. Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item?
You need a motion.
Need a motion?
I'll second.
Second. Roll call.
Fowler?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Teaser?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
And Chairman?
Aye. Item number 9, Pathway NRD Policy Manual, Appendix K, revisions. Amanda?
Hi, good afternoon. So for consideration tonight is an amendment to Appendix K, which is the rules and regulations for the district's recreation areas. And this is focusing specifically on the Elkhorn River access sites. So as you probably know, because it's one of our most asked things and looked at things on our website, we close the Elkhorn River sites when it's the river's at a stage 5. We've done that for a number of years, maybe back 2013 or around then. And when we set that stage five, the flows that were equivalent to stage five were somewhere around 3,000, 3,200 CFS. So we felt that was, anything above that wasn't very safe. So that's been our policy for a very long time, but we've noticed over the years and after several flood events that, and even more work the USGS has done, that the flows at a stage five are way higher. And I do, I have some numbers. 2015, it was around 3,000. 2018, it was 3,800 CFS. 2020, 4,400 CFS. 2022, I'm going to throw out because it was a super low year. It never even got to five. And then this year, at stage five, we've been up around 6,000 CFS. So, and I know Director Teaser and the folks who have seen it, it's really rushing at a five. And there's no sandbars. And even several of the outfitters who use our sites or not aren't going at a five stage. So probably it was time that we reevaluated that. We spent the last month or so looking at those numbers. We did confirm with USGS that the Elkhorn's really degraded about 2 foot, which is probably making, you know, making that difference. There's more water moving through to stage five. So we are recommending that we close, change that policy to close the sites at a stage four. At a stage four, it's still moving, but there are some sandbars, and the sandbars that are there should be under the water, not too far, so making it a little safer. And as a side note, not part of the resolution, but Director Teaser had a great idea that we're going to implement, because we have outfitters, but we also have a lot of individuals that use the river, so we're going to put, like, our staff gauge-looking things, if you've seen those, that have, like, a green, yellow, red, right at the park, you know, at the ramps, so that you can see what the water level is, and if it's in the yellow, that you know, if you have little kids with you or whatever the case may be, you can take a little more caution. So those are a few things that we're doing, but the resolution tonight is to update the policy manual with a stage four, or, yeah, 4 foot closure. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to take them.
Amanda, I did have a amendment or an add-on, which is basically is after a high water event, all access sites, the boat ramps and concrete docks will be cleaned before the facilities are opened.
So that's part of your motion?
That's part of the motion. And the reason why we have, just last week, Waterloo was open, people were floating down, and the only way out was they were trying to walk up the boat ramp and had mud this deep, and they were falling down in the mud. Very dangerous. And a lot of these people didn't have life jackets on. Well, most of them don't, but it's something that needs to be done. And then on occasion, when the actual boat, the concrete docks, you get a mud on there that's an inch thick. I know I personally have fallen probably a half dozen times over the years on those ramps when they were covered with mud. So I mean, it's dangerous. It needs to be addressed, I think.
Yeah, and I think we could put that in the manual if we want to. You know, I think we kind of have the opportunity to keep them closed as long as we need to anyway, but that's something we could sure add.
And does this change need to be communicated, do you think, to the outfitters, those that use the river the most or not so much?
I did reach out to, we really only have two folks that have permits to use the sites. And one doesn't use our sites. He just got a permit in case. So the one who actually uses, the outfitter that uses our site, I did reach out and let them know that we would be discussing this, and she was actually all for it. They have actually not had any of their people go until just this last weekend because they didn't feel, she has a different trigger. It's an actual flow that she uses, but it's somewhere closer to four than it is five. So.
Good, okay. Thanks.
I think the individuals is a little tougher. I mean, that's going to be some outreach. And I think the kind of the gauges would help, and Jen can help with some outreach, too.
Yeah, we'll advertise it and post it and everything.
So the gauges have high enough print that people would read it, right?
Large print.
We'll put large letters.
Hey,
large numbers.
Stand up.
And very, very distinct colors.
So how should the motion read that we're going to pass?
Oh, boy.
I think Ridge added it.
Is that?
I think Ridge added
another question, please. So how long will it take to clean off all the sites.
Probably. Yeah. How bad it is, yeah.
We skid loader along the ramps, then we fire hose off the landings. Get all the water off and wash it on. It takes a good bit, day and a half. We opened up the parks this weekend and we were out yesterday morning, first thing they got.
I'm sorry?
I said, we opened up the parks this weekend and yesterday morning, the guys were out cleaning them all off, so. They're out there as quick as could.
Some years it just seems like they're never open and there's no access to the river.
Well, that's not really true. The river, I mean, we're in an unusual situation this year. Those parks are rarely closed, really, over the history of the parks. They may close three times a year for a few days when we have a, you know, big rain coming down. But this is an unusual season, year. With high water events. I'll make the motion.
Okay.
What do you just?
Well, let's staff, do you want to?
Can we just?
Dress that up and make it?
Well, we can just take what you said and put it on.
Okay.
We've got it written, so.
Not really, but. After a high water event, all access sites at the boat ramps and the boat ramps and the concrete docks will be cleaned before
opening.
Before they open to the public.
Second.
Anyone has questions regarding the motion?
Wouldn't you want to add that the cleaning needed to be done within a certain period of times to guarantee that the site would be opened in a timely fashion?
No, they can't open them until they're clean.
Say, well, they're dirty, we're not going to open them, and they just can't be cleaned for another 2 months, and then you blow them the summer.
Well, you can't get, I mean, we're going to open them as soon as we can. I mean, we can't guarantee a time. What if we have a flood fighting event going on the river, and we all hands on deck, and we can't clean the ramp? I mean,
you wouldn't be opening it anyways with a flood.
Well, unless it's on the Missouri.
You know, the other thing that one has to realize is we also work at water quality. If you have, you know, super high nitrates coming down that river, you know, and these things are worked at before we determine whether to open the parks up.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's too general. We could just add, like, at or closed or at the GM's discretion or something like that if we want to, because we have had water quality. I mean, it was high also, but we had water quality issues at one point. I don't know if that would cover it.
So how would the motion read?
Oh, leave the motion and we'll update Appendix K to say that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Perfect.
Okay.
Okay, any other questions by directors?
Good suggestion.
On the motion. Roll call.
Jeff?
Yes.
Teaser?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
And Chairman?
Aye. I think that completes my report.
Teaser. Okay, teaser.
FEL.
Oh, that'd be me. Sorry. This is a daydreaming. The time is 4:28. We'll call the FEL subcommittee meeting to order. Notification of the Open Meeting Act. It is posted in the rear. Quorum call.
Bradley.
Here.
Davidson.
Here.
Bennington.
Here.
McCormick.
Here.
Here. Adoption of the agenda.
So move.
Second.
Davidson?
Yes.
Bennington?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
And Chairman?
Yes. Proof of publication of the meeting. I have it before me. Moving on to item six, review of FY25 budget draft. John Winkler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Attaches the working draft of the first working draft of the fiscal year 2025 Papio Missouri River NRD budget. As you're aware, a budget is a working document, and it's a guide for planning for each fiscal year. Just break down quickly, total property tax requirements, $117.8 million. Property tax levy is .031324, which is the same as last year, which was the lowest since '05. Again, we are projecting a 2.5% valuation increase. If anything is higher than that, when the final valuations come out in August, then we will lower the mill levy accordingly. We're anticipating a 7% increase in total valuations, so that would bring the levy down to .3007, which would be the lowest since 2001. Following items would like to consider, obviously some draft budget assumptions, that $500,000 is the budgeted for necessary cash reserve, and that's less than 1 month of operations for the district, and $14.4 million has been estimated for general cash on hand as of June 30th. Since this is the first draft, there are several unknowns: final revenue expenditures, cash on hand, treasurer's balance, obviously valuations, and so hopefully these get us in the ballpark for compliance. Again, review carefully. If you have any questions, let me know. Dates to remember: August 6th is the FEL subcommittee to review draft 2. August 8th is a public input meeting and approval of the proposed 2025 budget. September 10th is the budget hearings and the adoption of the budget and the special hearing to set the final tax request. And September 12th is the adoption of the fiscal year 2025 budget, which has to be submitted to the state by September 30th. And I'm happy to answer any question you might have, but that's kind of just the general breakdown. And again, this is no action item. It's just presentation for the first
time. Any questions from the general public?
Sean Malotz, 10404 North 132nd Street. I thank you for giving me the time to address a couple questions I have regarding the budget. There's various funds that I noted where the fiscal year 2025 budget reports a significant decrease when compared to the fiscal year 24 budget, when minimal actual fiscal year 24 expenditures occurred. I had this in writing, but specifically, three of the funds that I saw were on page 19, the floodway purchase programs, page 17, the urban drainage programs, page 31, the wetland stream bank mitigation. The other issue I had a question on was on page 17 of the budget. In the fiscal year 24, budgeted costs included over $500,000 that was the City of Omaha Thomas Creek improvements. My question would be, why was that removed from the 25 budget? Because with Google coming just right along the Thomas Creek, there's been significant runoff from that property into the Thomas Creek, especially during this last flood or rain event.
Right.
And I think it's important that we pay attention to that, especially when that's your main contributory out in Northwest Omaha.
Right.
I'd also like to have someone explain to me the distinction between the watershed fees that are reported in the watershed fund on page 32 versus those that are being deposited into the Southern Sarpy County Watershed Partnership. I believe the watershed funds were part of the requirement where the developers were paying one-third of the dam costs, yet they're going into a fund that's now holding over $2 million. And then on page 34, the Papio Dam Site 19, when are the federal funds expected to be received, and do you have a dollar amount that are expected, and how does that impact Dam Site 10?
Did you have all those written down, John?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll answer them, and we'll give them it. We'll send it to everybody so everybody has the answers.
Thank you.
Yep, thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Any comments? Moving on to item 7, 25 budget with compensation, 1% resolution, John Winkler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So this comes up every year. So state statute requires that no governmental unit shall adopt a budget containing a total budget restricted funds more than last year's prior total of budget restricted funds plus allowable increases, and allow political subdivisions to have the ability to increase their base restricted funds by 2.5%. The board can also choose to increase the limit by an additional 1%, and this requires a supermajority of the board present for the vote. So an increase in restricted funds authority does not necessarily mean an increase in the tax levy or in the tax dollars. What it does is it gives us the ability and the flexibility to respond to, for example, when we had 9-10% inflation. If you look at the what the 2.5% lid applies to, they're all items, or not all of them, but a number of items that typically are outside of our control. For example, district's insurance coverage, liability insurance has gone through the roof. We're expecting cyber insurance now to be separated and paid separate than your umbrella policy, which will add another 15 or 20 grand a year to our insurance cost. Equipment vehicles, again, equipment, just purchase of equipment, but also repair of equipment is astronomical, and Bill Warren can testify to that. And then also park and structure maintenance. So maintenance is a huge issue, obviously, as our structures age, our dams and our levees, as they age, that requires more and more maintenance. So we did have a history of the approval of the additional 1% in 2022 through 2024. The board did approve that additional 1%. And so we are requesting that you do again. You do so again this year.
Any comments? Directors, anybody wish to make any comments? Hearing none, roll call.
We need a motion.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Staff recommendation.
Second.
Thank you. Other comments?
Teaser.
A little extra loud. Sorry about that.
Larry's got some.
Roll call.
Anderson? McCormick?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Davidson?
Yes.
Chairman?
Yes.
I mean.
Item 8, right-of-way transfer to Douglas County to 216th Street. Lori.
Good afternoon. Part of the property that we have purchased for the Dam Site 12 project in northern Douglas County is adjacent to 216th Street, which is a county road. They are proposing to do some repairs or a future project there, and they need approximately 0.06 acres of right-of-way along there. And so they are requesting that we transfer that to them. Bill, can you go to the map? It is a very, very small piece up in, let's see, right, okay, there we go. Right along that, that piece right there, adjacent to that. So they have drawn up the easement documents, and we are requesting approval for that. Normally, we take care of this sort of thing during design phase and with an interlocal agreement. We're just not that far along on this project yet. So with that, I can answer any questions.
Directors?
What's the value of this?
That is, I can't answer that.
So we're just going to give them the land.
We're just giving them an easement.
We're giving an easement. Yeah. It's typical. That's common courtesy between.
They get more money than we do, you know.
Yeah. It all comes from the same pot.
Are these the $75,000 an acre or the $49,000 acres we bought in that area?
The $75,000.
Seems about the right price.
Motion?
I move with staff recommendation.
Second.
Anybody wish to make a comment? Hearing none, roll call.
Hold on, sorry. You said it was an easement, but it says execute a transfer agreement deeding.
Yes.
Point.
It's
not an easement.
We are deeding land.
Okay. Which again, we would have done this at some point in the future anyway, since it is adjacent, and it would have been done under an interlocal agreement.
Right.
Is this going to be a ingress egress to any facility that they're going to put there, like a park or soccer field or anything?
I don't know what they have for the area.
No, Douglas County won't have any facilities out there. The ingress and egress to the park areas will be part of the final design. We have those proposed on the preliminary design that we can show you, but that'll be something that we do probably in the next couple of years.
Will we need access to that in the future? And if so, would this, should this include an easement for us if we need to gain access to it at all?
I don't think it will, because this is for specifically for a road improvement project. So it would be a public road anyway. We would most likely not access the site off of the side of the road, not on a designated access area.
Would the maintenance be handed over to Douglas County or city? Or who's going to maintain it after?
So the road, currently the road is a county road.
The dam site.
Oh, the dam site, that would be City of Omaha.
Other questions? We got a motion? Roll call.
McCormick?
No.
Bradley?
Yes.
Davidson?
Yes.
Ennison?
No.
Chairman?
Yes. Motion passes. And we are done. We stand adjourned.
All right, well then I call to order the meeting of the Personnel, Legislative, and Public Affairs Subcommittee members. Let's see, notification Open Meetings Act posting is has been done previously. Oh, copy of the Open Meetings Act, Nebraska Revised State Statute 84-1407 through 84-1415 is posted on the back wall of the meeting room. With that, we'll say a quorum call.
Here.
McCormick?
Here.
Thompson?
Here.
And Chairman?
Here. And adoption of agenda.
Second.
Proof of publication. We have proof of publication of the meeting notice, and it will become part
need
of
a roll call.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I thought we were done. In a hurry.
Fowler?
Yeah.
McCormick?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Bonnets?
Yes.
And Chairman?
Yes. Now we have publication, proof of publication of the meeting notice, and it will become part of the permanent record. Item number six, the NARD 414H Retirement Contribution Resolution, John Winkler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Since 2023, NARD managers and the Nebraska Association of Resource Districts Board of Directors has been discussing changes in contribution levels to the 414H Retirement Plan. This is obviously to assist in employment recruitment and retention. The last time these figures were updated or percentages were updated was 2006. On May 20th, 2024, the NARD Employee Benefits Committee voted unanimously to recommend to the NARD managers and NARD board to approve the increase in employee contributions from 5.5% to 6.5% and the employer contribution from 6.0 to 7.0% effective January 1st, 2025. At the June 10th board meeting, the NARD board approved the mandatory increase on employee contributions for those. And then the budget impact to the district in the 2024-2025 transition year, because this won't go into effect till January of 2025, is $21,950. And in the next budget year, which would be a full fiscal year, 2025 to 2026, the budget impact to the district would be $45,500. More, and as Carrie said, more likely a little less. And so attached is the resolution for your consideration and adoption to make the increases as discussed to the 414H retirement plan. Happy to answer.
Staff recommendation. Second.
All right, does anybody here wish to speak to this item?
It's a great idea.
I had,
it's hard enough to find help.
Right.
It's harder to keep them.
How does this line up with other government agencies as far as contribution levels? Any idea?
I can tell you.
Yeah, oh, good.
Most police are 8-8, fires 8-8, or 7-7 that I see. Some are 9-9.
And those are pensions too, so they're guaranteed benefit. Now we just have a guaranteed contribution.
Right. So. And we're sure the employees want this?
The ones I talk to. I think the ones in present.
Just making sure.
Do you want them to testify?
Didn't want that to shove anything down your throat you didn't want, you know? Is there any other comments from directors? If not, roll call, please.
McCormick?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Burnett?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
And Sherman?
Yes.
And that completes my report.
We're adjourned.
All right. Thank you.